Hello from SBIR land. I'm Nate Warren with Eva Garland Consulting. And today I'm joined by Becky Beatty. She is a founding member and CEO at Launch Bio, which is a nonprofit organization that works to support life science and biotech companies. So welcome, Becky. We're glad to have you.
Thank you, Nate. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. First off, exciting news for Launch Bio, which is the U.S. Economic Development Administration recently announced that Launch Bio is set to receive funding from its Build to Scale grant program. Can you tell us a little bit more about what Launch Bio is planning to use these funds to accomplish?
Yes, and thank you. We're pleased as an organization. We've had grants in the past, but this is a big step forward for us. And we were awarded on my birthday, October 1st. So it was a fun call to get for our team and all of our partners in North Texas. So our vision for this three-year venture build grant is to leverage and expand and coordinate existing resources to transform North Texas into really a globally recognized entrepreneurial ecosystem. And as the backbone organization with experience in building entrepreneurial ecosystems, LaunchBio will lead established local partners and bring in national partners in transforming what is the newly developed Biotech Plus Hub at Pegasus Park into what we're calling a one-stop shop for enabling early stage like life science and biotech companies to develop and advance their technologies. So in a nutshell, that is what we're going to be busy doing in North Texas over the next 3 years.
That's very exciting. That's awesome. Can you speak to just a little bit more about the broader mission of Launch Bio and maybe describe your role in the organization?
Yes. So Launch Bio is a 501c3 nonprofit. We were created 5 years ago to identify, counsel, and support high growth, high impact life science companies. And we started in San Diego as the nonprofit partner to BioLabs, which is a co-working space for early stage life science companies. And now we have grown to have a national presence alongside BioLabs in many cases into major biotech hubs. And we primarily carry out our mission through educational programming and networking opportunities focused on connecting biotech investors, innovators with investors and talent and resources to aid in their success.
That's fabulous.
As far as my role goes, and as in many nonprofits, we all wear multiple hats and do many, many jobs at once. But my primary focus is to oversee operations, manage the finances, and set the strategic vision for the organization.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, many hats. I'm sure we all feel.
Yeah.
So you mentioned North Texas is kind of an area that you're starting to work in a little bit more with the recent grant funding. So you're quite unique as a biotech organization or support organization that you have national reach. So what differences do you see among the different startup ecosystems across the U.S.? So for instance, Boston, Dallas, San Diego, which you mentioned.
Yeah, well, if you take a step back and look at what are the major hubs and what components comprise those hubs, Boston being number one, or Cambridge more specifically, San Francisco and San Diego, I guess they would be considered the top of a list for largest and most prominent biotech hubs. And thinking about the key elements necessary to achieve a critical mass of companies within specific regions, the main factors are capital. So that's both government, grant funding and investor funding, talent, infrastructure to house all of the work, and resources, community resources. The talent and company formation oftentimes comes out of universities, and that then draws capital, and the capital then fuels innovation. And then that growth requires more real estate space. And really the proximity of how this is all happening is a key differentiating factor between hubs. And, this is best visualized in Cambridge. All of this is happening within walking distance. San Francisco, you know, it's a 7 by 7 mile city. And so all of this is happening closely. And San Diego as well has a centralized life science activity center, if you will. And so when you look at secondary markets or emerging markets, which are really taking the lead right now, like Dallas, and the perfect example is Biotech Plus Hub at Pegasus Park in Dallas or North Texas, is intentionally creating a centralized location for scientific founders to access the tools they need. And really creating these, I visualize it like collisions, these intentional collisions and meetings, conversations that can happen amongst various partners, whether that's investors, mentors, the entrepreneurs themselves, industry profits, trade associations, students is a big part of this, and academic institutions. So when we look at other hubs that are emerging, I think it's important to kind of look at how many key ingredients do they have and what do they need to coalesce the elements that are there.
I love that word, key ingredients. That's a really interesting way to think about it. That's great.
Yeah.
What sorts of specific resources or programs does LaunchBio bring to a startup business in order to help them move forward, move a technology forward, help them succeed?
Well, pre-pandemic, we were hosting large monthly events in San Diego and Durham and Boston, San Francisco, and starting to expand into LA and New York. And then March 2020 hit. I think we all kind of know that'll be a date in all of our minds that things changed perhaps forever. And all of these events that we plan oftentimes months and months in advance had to move online, like a lot of us, into the world of Zoom and webinars. Fast forward to today, we found that this virtual environment was a little bit of a silver lining and allowed us to expand our audience outside of the core markets that we're operating in. And we're still seeing high registrations at these events and repeat views on the recordings, which we weren't doing before when we were live. So our plan this year is really to continue with these national webinar series while returning to in-person events across the country. And our four main programs could be categorized as, so the national webinar series, larger than life science, it's really designed to highlight the best minds and ideas in our industry and create opportunities for connections amongst life science startups and executives. We launched, as of last year, another series called Let's Talk About, which explores the experiences of people of color in life sciences with the goal of uncovering issues of race and awareness and providing actionable takeaways, which is a big part of our organization. We want you to leave with next steps and tools to aid you in your success. So the goal with Let's Talk About is to create a or help to create a more inclusive industry that we're operating in. Founder Circle, which we also launched during pandemic times, is a peer advisory forum for life science founders and C-level executives. This is you apply to participate. It's a small group forum, excuse me. And these discussions are facilitated by industry experts that we bring in and different investment professionals and talk about specifically challenges that early stage founders face. And we'll be carrying those out both virtually and in person this year. And finally, Invest in Cures, which is a full-day forum, and we feature investment professionals from national disease foundations and disease-focused venture funds, focusing their investment philosophies and figuring out how our our community can interact with them and how they could work together as well, and curating one-on-one meetings with the venture arms of these foundations. So, you know, our intention is, and our mission is, to create connection and opportunities and help our startup companies and community fund their innovations. And so those are the main ways that we do it.
That's great. That sounds like something for everyone, certainly. So outside of the obvious associated with the pandemic, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see facing small businesses and biotech? And do you have any advice for these business owners, these innovators, for overcoming these challenges?
Well, starting any company is challenging. I think that it's around 10% of startups actually make it. And it's even harder for life science companies, because you think about their products are launched in a few in years, not months, right? So from my perspective, and I certainly don't think I'm the expert, my job is to put the experts in the room to help the founders and the companies. But it seems like probably one of the biggest challenges is a flawed financial strategy, or your plan for use of funds to get to the next funding stage. And really, this is where government grants can play an essential role in creating that option for non-dilutive funding. And we can talk about that later. But lack of space, lab space, is certainly another big challenge, especially right now. There's a run on lab space. And this is the beauty and really the benefit of biolabs, where you can lease one bench at a time with flexible terms and grow as you need to. And there's other options that are popping up too for flexible lab space, which is great. At this particular moment in time, I think talent shortage is a big challenge. Finding the right talent at the right price is critical to your startup operations. And we're hosting a national webinar to discuss strategies for startup hiring on February 17th. That's certainly a challenge right now. And I think also, you know, when you're a scientist and you're working on your science, there sometimes could be an overemphasis on the science. And
sure,
having, you know, from the beginning, asking and figuring out, is your commercialization plan feasible, is really critical. And is there a market for your product that you want to create? And what are the risks involved, both in the research and development? You know, if it's something that will be eventually manufactured, who and what partners are playing into that? You know, also competition. Are there other companies developing similar technologies, and having good partners that help you look at the IP landscape? So it's very complicated. I don't envy our startup founders. I'm really empathetic and supportive and wanting to help them get to the next stage, because the challenges are many. But the rewards, and really at the end of the day, the goal is to create better patient outcomes, is really what it's all about.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think that, you know, one thing that I see in my work with clients, you know, scientists specifically, it's trying to get them to tell their story in a product focused way. Right. You know, I think that's a big change for many coming from an academic or scientific background.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you mentioned non-dilutive funding. You know, I'm thinking of the SBIR, STTR program, of course, here on SBIR land. How do you see that program fit within an overall funding strategy for early stage companies? And do you have any success stories that LaunchBio was perhaps a part of?
Yeah, and like we were just talking about, and as we all know in this industry, securing funding is really one of the biggest challenges for a startup. And part of our job is to make entrepreneurs aware of all the potential funding sources available to them. The SBIR and STCR grant programs were obviously created to stimulate high-tech innovation and really foster entrepreneurship. And when you think about the amount of funding that's available, I think it's for this year around, you could probably tell me better, Nate, but $3 billion on an annual basis is being put into these programs.
It's a big number.
It's a big number. There's a lot of money available. And this could all be used to develop your business without giving up equity or assuming debt, right? So this non-dilutive funding option is absolutely critical in providing first, you know, funding for that proof of concept, and then also, you know, creating credibility for what you're doing, national recognition. And then even more importantly, this type of funding can help attract follow-on financing Absolutely. And licensing deals, which are, again, critical for startups in these early stages.
Absolutely. So moving forward, we're off to a good start in 2022. What are some of the other priorities that Launch Bio has on the table for the rest of the year?
Well, we're optimistic. It's been a challenging couple years for all of us in lots of different ways, but we are optimistic. We have great partners. We're serving a great cause. And one of our priorities this year is planning to return to in-person. Our big goal is to continue to monitor local health guidelines so we can provide high value networking opportunities in the safest environment. And so we're excited. We're going to plan for the best and adjust as needed, but that's a top priority for us. Of course, this is the first year of our EDA Build to Scale grant. So execution and management of our efforts in North Texas are a high priority. And, you know, always as a nonprofit, coming back to your original mission when you started and staying mission focused, a priority that was set in place at the inception of the organization and really remains our number one priority, is to help connect and educate early stage life science entrepreneurs really to the best of our ability. So the important science that they're working on can reach patients and ultimately have a positive impact on society. So we will remain mission focused and put our heads down and do our work.
That's great. If you are someone that is getting a biotech startup business off the ground, if you want to learn more about how Launch Bio can help your company, you can check out launchbio.org. Becky, we appreciate you joining us so much today on SBIR land, and look forward to seeing what Launch Bio is up to in the coming year.
Thank you, Nate. I appreciate your time, and it was great to have this conversation.
Thanks so much.